Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God of compassion, you invite us into your way of forgiveness and peace. Lead us to love our enemies and transform our words and deeds to be like his, through whom we pray, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, as all God's children say. You may be seated. What a lovely group of people. And I must say, to hear that Girl Scout cookies are being sold today, holy cow, I'm so excited about that. Are you have s'mores? Girl Scout cookies, yay, yay, yay. There's also one other thing I want us all to be excited about.
What?
And I'm going to tell you. So, we are looking at a gospel text this morning that's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Have you heard of that Sermon on the Mount before?
I think so.
Well, tell me what you know.
I think that it means Moses.
Well, I guess in any good Lutheran quiz, you could either guess God or Moses and probably be in good shape. Actually, the point... Can I see that for a second? I want to make a new friend. Oh, okay, all right. The point of our text this morning is to remind us all that wherever we go and wherever we are, whatever we're doing, who is with us? And there's a special lesson this morning in our text to love everybody. Now, it's really easy to love everybody out here this morning. Aren't they very lovely people? What a lovely congregation you have.
In a way.
In a way? Well, thank you for your honesty. That's very good. Now, it's really easy to love those who love us in return. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
But it can be kind of hard to love others who don't like us. Is that kind of hard to love them back?
But why don't you even give up on them? Or
I'm not going to give up on them. Are you?
Probably.
Well, again, I love your honesty. What a great gift. You're in a grouchy mood this morning?
Yes. You talk really fast.
Here, everybody turn around.
I could understand.
Turn around for a second. Look. My turn. Okay. Turn around. Look at this beautiful cross right there. That should put you in a great mood. What should also put you in a great mood is to know that whether you encounter someone who loves you or someone who doesn't necessarily love you, God is always asking us to show them all love in return, because God always shows us what in return? What does God always show us in return? Shows us love all the time in return. Isn't that great news? What a great gift. What a point of celebration. I am so excited to share this with you. How many of you are in school? You're going, Pastor Shane, what a silly question. Do you get along with everybody at your school?
No.
Thank you for your honesty. You do? Oh, that is wonderful. High five. Most of the people. Yeah. Great news is that God's love puts a nice Band-Aid. God's love puts a nice warm blanket around us all to remind us that his love is going to be what takes care of everything in this life that we live. I don't know about you, but I'm really happy about that. How about you? And before you go out to Sunday school, I want to do something called a circle prayer. Who's ever done one before? I know my boys have. Exactly. Yay. Come and make a circle with me, please, before you head up to Sunday school. And I want you to hold the hand of someone in the circle. Thank you. Did everybody wash your hands this morning?
Yeah.
Very, very good. Here, stand up. Come on, buddy.
I need to wash your hands
now. Okay, come on. Let's stand up. We're going to be part of the circle prayer. And what we're going to do, we're going to hold hands, and you're going to repeat after me, okay? That means you have to have closed mouths for a moment. But more than that, you have to have open what? Ears. open hearts, open minds, open ears. Amen. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For everything you do.
For everything you do.
In our lives.
In our lives.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That wherever we go.
Wherever we go.
You are with us.
You are with us.
Thank you for that great news.
Thank you for that great news.
Let us go off today.
Let us go off today.
Learn new things.
Learn new things.
Meet new people.
Meet new people.
And love everything.
Love everything.
We do.
We do.
It's in your holy and precious name. This is where you're going to say amen really loud. Are you ready? This, in your holy and precious name, all God's children say. Friends, I thought I had a lot of energy. That was a lot of energy. Amen. Amen for that. We continue our worship with the reading of our lessons.
The first reading is from Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes from your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord, your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of the laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 119 responsibly. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire.
Incline my heart.
Holding falsehood, give me life in your way.
Fulfill your promise.
Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold,
glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Do you know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise with in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and your sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O gracious God, as all God's children say. Amen. It's good to be with you this day as we continue this Epiphany season. And to keep in mind where we've come from, I think, is totally appropriate. It's hard to believe that we're already the second month into the 2017 year, although by way of a church year, we're further into it than that, aren't we? We kicked off with that beautiful Advent journey, and we lit candles, and we got to that point where great gifts were found underneath the Christmas tree, and the greatest gift being the birth of our Messiah, the birth of our Creator God, in this earthly life that we live. We then went into a time of Christmas, and from there into a time of Epiphany. And the way we define Epiphany, as I'm sure many of you know, it's a time of seeing God revealed, God showing himself, God being present for us in new and fantastic ways in this pilgrimage, in this journey that we walk and we live. Before we get to unpacking this Sermon on the Mount text this day, just a little bit of background on Matthew, the author of our gospel. You see, Matthew's main purpose, or one of them, was to remind us that Jesus is the Messiah, not just some far-off Messiah, but the Messiah for who? The Messiah and the Son of God for all of us. He puts a lot of emphasis on the Great Commission, and I'm glad that we started back at the baptismal font, because in that Great Commission, we are reminded that all are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We do have some responsibility in this. It's one of my favorite words, stewardship. How do we use our time, our talent, our treasure? So we are to obey his teachings, and Jesus reminds us, gives us great assurance that he will always be with us. So we continue that great Sermon on the Mount series, and when I got here this morning, I was so happy to see, well, not only you, not only the hot chocolate given to my boys, But on the back wall was a picture of last year's confirmation camp. A true Sermon on the Mount, a true mountaintop experience, location. In many ways in my life, I was a confirmation student there in 1989, just a couple years ago. And so to go back to see that circle rounded, completed, still ongoing though, ever moving, it's a great reminder that we can have in a variety of places a mountaintop experience, a Sermon on the Mount opportunity. And we certainly have that as we follow the lectionary in this seventh Sunday already of Epiphany. Or are you already distracted as you try to find God revealed? Are you already distracted by your calendar? Are you already distracted by things that weigh you down and that we try to push aside? Are you already distracted by the ways in which human interaction takes place? Because there's certainly some implication, there's certainly some things that Jesus talks about this morning in our text as it refers to and in regard to human interaction. An eye for an eye begins a list of things that Jesus talks about this morning. Anybody have lists on your refrigerator? This is my bobblehead moment. I should have brought Luther, and I push his head down. Whenever I ask a question and he nods in the affirmative, he makes Pastor Shane feel so smart. We all have lists, don't we? This whole Sermon on the Mount, beginning with Matthew 5, verse 1, all the way through the ending of chapter 7, affords us an opportunity to create a list on what I want to say is living out a Christian life. But it's so easy to say that, but much harder to actually live and do that out the way that God would intend us to do so. Doesn't it feel so good when someone does us wrong to want to return the favor right away? Doesn't it make us, temporarily at least, feel good that we got back at somebody or someone? Or do none of you ever feel that way? In which case, I want to celebrate. That's my great optimism talking, but in reality, perhaps the ways in which we are fallen as humanity, we do find some gratification in treating folks not the way that God would intend, but the way that we would want to instead, and in spite of all of his teachings that he's given to us all throughout this earthly life, this pilgrimage, this journey that we've walked and we've lived. Maybe it's different by the beach, or maybe not. Love for enemies. I loved speaking about that with our young people earlier. What great energy and enthusiasm. I like to think that I've got as much energy, if not more so, than many people I encounter. I have to tell you, I was falling woefully behind our young people this morning. Like my granddad used to say, holy cow. We live in a fractured world, don't we? That's the reality. There are many out there who try to find ways not to bring us together, but rather to do just the opposite, There are many out there whose sole purpose, if you ask them, is to divide, to separate, to fracture the body of Christ, to fracture communities, to fracture unity among people, however they may be able to do that. Having love for enemies pushes back against that and says, no, we have some say in how we will interact with folks, not just the ones that love us so much, like you all do for each other in this loving place, but also how we will bring people together who differ from us, who we don't see eye to eye on things with. When we do that, we are showing that there is a living, loving God present, and to use a military term, and accounted for, right now where we find ourselves. You see, Scripture, and if there had been an Amazon best-selling book list 2,000 years ago, it would be right there at the top. That was a little clergy humor, by the way. That one book is our roadmap, isn't it? By unpacking the parables, by unpacking the intent of the gospel writers, by unpacking the intent of what was written in the Old Testament and forward, to say, if there's a question on how to interact with someone, look right here, and you will get your answer. I must say, on my bookshelves, that's about the only book that doesn't have dust on it. That's about the only book that I must confess to opening up on a regular basis. Anybody have books at home that maybe you haven't touched in a while? Maybe if you pick them up and blow that dust off, you go, oh my gosh, that's been there too long. If we start doing that with the Word and not delving into it on a regular basis, good news is then not proclaimed. A reminder to all of God's light is not shown. Anybody want a homework assignment this week? Pastor Shane, what are you talking about? I've been out of school for 40 years. I don't want homework. But all of us are babes in the faith. We are all children in God's eyes. We all, like I like to quite often say, have a chance to do continuing education, to do lifelong learning, to constantly connect with the Word and see how it might be applied in new ways. And so, yes, we all have a homework assignment. Even the choir back there, you even have a homework assignment too. In addition to practicing great music back there. How might we all, this week, apply what it means to love our enemy? How might we apply what it means to turn the other cheek? How might we apply what it means to push it back against an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth mentality? How might we apply that this week? We don't have enough time to go around the entire sanctuary and get everybody's response, although it'd be nice if we could. But we can all do that by how we put this text into practice as we leave this place this day. You see, the Word is taken to another level when we are infused with enthusiasm and vigor and energy in this place, and then we go forth into our own ministry sites, all the parts of the vineyard that God gives us to work, and we apply that, and we remind people who may search in darkness that in this season of Epiphany, He is revealed through all of you. Do you believe that? If you didn't, I can't give an order, but I can give a strong recommendation. I can give a strong suggestion. Please, please, in the very core, the very heart of hearts, do please believe that. Because this is all of our ways of living out our own way of stewardship. My boy's sister, my daughter, when I say stewardship, she says, "Oh, Dad, do you need to talk about that one more time?" And emphatically and enthusiastically, I say, "Yes, I do." How are we using our time? How are we using our treasure? How are we using the very talents that we've been blessed with? My talents differ from yours, but collectively, don't we comprise an awesome, fantastic body of Christ? Yes, is the answer. So as you go forth this week, as we journey ever closer to Lent, oh my gosh, it's right around the corner. Let that light continue to be a goal that you have when you go to proclaim God's good news. Be ready for an opportunity to profess your faith. One thing about military ministry, which counters and differs from when I was a civilian pastor, and I could go door to door and do evangelism and give invitation, invite folks to church, is we are such an inclusive body, organization. There's over 160 recognized faith backgrounds in the military. That's a lot. I'm not very good at math anymore, but that's a big number. But I always wait for that opportunity, because inevitably it has come, where they say, "Chaplain Freiberg, tell me about this God that you worship, because you seem so happy every time I see you." And I go, "Thank you for noticing. Thank you for opening up that door. Thank you for giving me that opportunity to share." We all can be at the ready, to toss in another military phrase, we can be at the ready when that opportunity comes our way too, because I know, if it hasn't already, it certainly will come for all of you at some point. And what will you do with that? That is our work to do this week. Applying this text, applying this Sermon on the Mount for all to benefit from. So God be with you all this week. You all clean up so nicely on this beautiful Sunday, wearing your Sunday's finest. Amen, alleluia for that. Let us go forth with great vigor, great joy that we can go forth as messengers of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place where we find ourselves. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for all the ministry opportunities that you empower us to live out using the gifts you've blessed us with. As we go forth, may we always be mindful that wherever we go, so too are you, giving us all we need to be of service to all those around. Be with us, keep us safe, ever in your prayer. It's in your holy and precious name all God's people say. Amen. Let us rejoice and sing.